Today on Seculo, and this is not a joke, there's a help wanted at DHS. They need military volunteers to serve migrants, not secure the border, serve migrants. We'll talk about that more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
We've been given exclusive access to these internal Homeland Security and Pentagon planning documents, and they reveal DHS is recruiting this new volunteer force. It's going to be made up of Defense Department officials. They will deploy to the southern border to help with the migrant crisis. Specifically, Bill, military personnel will provide support services to migrants crossing into the U.S. both legally and illegally.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
We're getting a very detailed look at what exactly military officials will be doing to support migrants. Take a look at this. Their responsibilities will include basic housekeeping, like picking up trash, sweeping, cleaning refrigerators, and shredding paper, prescription medicine runs, going to the local pharmacy, as well as migrant personal property management, tagging, bagging, sealing, storing, and retrieval of their things. The head of the Border Patrol Council says all of this is a misallocation of resources and an admission of crisis.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. And it's no joke. You might see first, hey, Department of Homeland Security wants to partner with DOD to get members of our military down to the border. You say, my gosh, maybe they finally said we need help to secure our border. No, they are volunteers they're asking for. And we're going to talk to Wes Smith about how much that actually means volunteer. Like, what does that term really mean if you've got pressure coming up from your higher-ups and you're someone enlisted in the military? To serve is the word we used. Illegal immigrants and people here that are claiming asylum. There's a lot of people claiming asylum who would not actually meet the criteria, which is very strict criteria to get asylum in the United States in the courtroom. But they claim that and they don't count them as technically illegal immigrants. They claim as people who are claiming asylum. But understand this. They are asking the DHS to recruit from the DOD. So, but not to help secure the border, to help with housekeeping, picking up trash. We use that image, if you're watching the broadcast, of all the trash being picked up. Picking up trash, sweeping, cleaning, shredding paper, going to local pharmacies, serving illegal immigrants. Is this the best use of our armed forces? Is this why people volunteer? We're an all-volunteer military. They volunteer to go take care of illegal immigrants? And this again, to me, just underscores the lack of commitment to actually, one, securing the border, but two, even what the problem is. The problem is not that, again, there might be a trash problem, but do you really need the U.S. military? Is it that big of a trash problem to handle? You need U.S. military to run out and run errands for illegal immigrants? People being trafficked here? This is like, the cartels must love this. This idea that our military is going to be servants to the people they're trafficking into the United States. So instead of using the military to say, maybe we need some military down there to help back up Customs and Border Patrol and ICE, and that would be a use I think a lot of Americans would understand would be important. No. They're being sent there as errand boys and women for illegal immigrants. Let that sit in for a moment and ask yourself, if you had a young person in your family who wants to serve their country, willing to put their life on the line for their country, this is how you're going to recruit them? Is you can go pick up trash, you can go sweep. And I'm not saying that people in the military who are, again, volunteer and serve, and a lot of good people out there who would volunteer and help in these kind of crisis situations. But we're talking about taking members of the armed forces away from their jobs to be a volunteer trash and servant force for illegal immigrants. I want your calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. This is at the same time, our president says we could be at nuclear Armageddon, or we're going to redeploy the military to go work for Mayorkas as servants. 1-800-684-3110. Mike Pompeo is going to be joining us. Rick Riddell is going to be joining us. We are 3 weeks out, folks. Just 21 days until Election Day. Early voting starting in a lot of places all around the country. This is the time, folks. Share this with your friends and family right now. Go to ACLJ.org. So 3 weeks out from Election Day, early voting starting in a lot of places this week, if not already. And the Biden administration announces, Fox News broke it this morning, and I want to get into some detail here, that Department of Homeland Security is looking for volunteers from the Department of Defense, so from our military, to go to the southern border. Now, leaving it there, and you'd think, wow, you know, they're realizing that maybe one of their October surprises is they're going to take border security seriously. No, it has nothing to do with securing the border. So you're not taking the military assets to go and help back up CBP, you know, with the actual training they have, which is to deal with this mass influx of illegal immigrants into our country and the drug traffickers, the cartels, the dangerous aspects of just that many people and who's behind it. No, they're being asked to go to run errands. I am not kidding you, to go pick up prescriptions for illegal immigrants, to clean up after illegal immigrants, because the trash, it is bad down there. But again, do we really need to redeploy military to act as the trash men for illegal immigrants, servants for illegal immigrants? Let me go to Wes Smith right away. We are taking your calls on this 1-800-684-3110. I'm Wes with your military service. And again, there's a lot of good people in the military. They volunteer to serve. If you tell them a task and the task is we need to clean this area up, of course they would do that. But in this situation is they're looking for volunteers. I want to start right there because I'm sitting there going, who would volunteer? If it was a security job, I could see people saying, you know what? I haven't had the chance to be deployed. Maybe this would be a good opportunity to use some of my skills, mass influx of people. But this is to do busy work.
Yeah, and my understanding is these volunteers, this pool of volunteers, will come largely from the Pentagon itself. I was stationed there 3 years. I can't imagine anyone so low on the totem pole at the Pentagon that they're not needed there to do their job, but instead are sent to the border. No doubt there is a crisis on the border. We have 2 million people this year who have crossed the border illegally and were apprehended, almost 2 million last year. That's 4 million people. They think there's about 1 million gotaways. Some of them are from all over the world. 78 were on the terrorist watch list. And then you've got fentanyl and drug trafficking and sex trafficking. No doubt there is a crisis. But the answer is not to take soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines and put them on trash detail or housekeeping duties for illegal immigrants on the southern border. This is another example, Jordan, of the Biden administration totally not understanding the ethos of the United States military. This is not what they trained to do. Morale is a bit shaky anyway right now since President Biden became commander-in-chief and some of the senior leadership have bought into some of the cultural progressive ideas, and they've intimated that the military is somehow filled with systemic racism and domestic terrorism, things like that. That has hurt morale in the military. Like everyone else, young soldiers are struggling. We reported, you know, last month and talked about, you know, the fact that some of them are on food stamps. But now this, it is sad, but it is no wonder that, as has been reported as recently as yesterday, but it's been being reported for the last several weeks, that the military is missing their recruiting goals by tens of thousands of people. People do not want to join an organization that is as mismanaged as this. I hope they will join. I served 26 years, and it is worth it. It is honorable duty. It is rewarding duty. But they're having trouble filling their quotas, and this kind of thing does not help, Jordan.
And on top of this, don't take your calls, 1-800-684-3110 to be a part of the show. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're getting a report from Biden officials. They're leaking out that the Customs and Border Patrol Commissioner, Chris Magnus, is unengaged in his job. Sound like the vice president who's the border czar? This is even worse. He falls asleep at meetings, doesn't attend many White House meetings on the border, which is his job. When he does, he's fallen asleep, including one earlier this year on how to handle the swell of Venezuelans crossing the border. One senior White House official said it was noticed among staff how he sent a deputy to sit in on high-level meetings. So again, the people they put in place to be in charge of the border are literally asleep at the wheel. Or not even showing up and just cruising along. And then this slap in the face, I think, to the military. Again, as Janice wrote on YouTube, I feel like this is an insult. I do too, to the military and their families. Weiland wrote on YouTube, have they thought about using the 87,000 new IRS agents? They haven't been able to hire them yet. And if there's Republican victories in the House and Senate, we might be able to prevent that money from ever being released to hire those 87,000 agents. But of course, no, they wouldn't use them if they were in place. They're going to the Pentagon. And like Wes said, if you've made it to that level of the Pentagon, even if you're low down the totem pole, this is the best use of your time. When we've got war in Europe and aggressive China, we're going to talk about that with Mike Pompeo in the next segment of the broadcast. Chairman Xi getting a third term, which is unprecedented in China. They changed their constitution, changed their laws so that he can basically be emperor for life. So we'll talk about that with Mike Pompeo. But at all those times, this is where we're going to redeploy military, is to pick up trash, clean out refrigerators, and run errands for illegal immigrants. Let me go to the phones. Chuck in Virginia on line three. Hey, Chuck.
Thanks for taking my call, Jordan. I think this just illustrates the contempt that the Biden-Harris administration and the Democrats in general seem to have for the military and those who volunteer to serve to defend our country. And it's embarrassing. I served 11 years in the military. It's embarrassing to me that they would even suggest this. It shows a complete and total lack of understanding.
Yeah, I agree, Chuck. This is not why people volunteer. This is not why we asked them to volunteer. I do think they're taking advantage of a group of people who are committed to service and committed to the command structure. The pressure that's going to be on some people to volunteer to do this, Wes,
yeah,
especially for coming anybody with the political appointee style of the leadership who thinks this is a way to, you know, somehow get a benefit in the eyes of the administration or in your military higher ups. I would guess that would be the only way to get these people to do this.
And that's a legitimate thing for a young service person to do. And thank you, Chuck, for your service to the military. But yeah, and it's not that these personnel feel like they're too good to do this. I rub shoulders with these people. They are servants. And you know, selfless service is one of the values, the stated values of the United States military. So it's not that they're too good. It is simply a misuse of the military. It is not what they trained to do. And as you said, there will be some pressure internally, you know, as these instructions go down the chain of command, you know, to the individual offices and departments at the Pentagon, or if it went out to the rest of the military individual units, there will be some implied pressure, perhaps in some cases, for young service people to feel like, well, in order to please my direct commander, I probably should go ahead and volunteer to do this. It is wrong to put our service people in this kind of a situation. And again, it's no wonder that the Department of Defense is missing its recruiting goals, because this is not what they sign up for. It's not what they volunteer to do. It's not that they're too good for it. It's not what they're trained to do. The United States military is one of the most important parts of our government, but this is wrong on so many levels. I hope some of the outcry that they're getting will cause them to change their mind. This is where senior leadership, Jordan, at the Pentagon should be going to the president and to DHS and forcefully objecting to this. But right now, as far as we know from the senior leadership, it's crickets.
You know, if you're watching the broadcast, I encourage you to share it on Facebook, click thumbs up on YouTube. That helps share it on YouTube. And of course, the plus sign on Rumble. So wherever if you are watching, you're not just listening to the broadcast, I encourage you to take that action. Mike Pompeo is coming up next. Rick Rennell is joining us the second half hour. Let me go back to the phones. Chris in Texas on line one. Hey, Chris.
Hey, this is Chris in Dallas. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say, I mean, I doubt it. We know the administration is really confused and has no idea what they're doing, but maybe they're listening to someone, and this is their way of getting military down there without admitting they're wrong. And I'm hopeful that that's maybe the case, if we can get their presence down there on a different cause, in case they actually really, really do need the military down there.
I'm not being nasty, because I think, again, you're trying to find the positive in life, and you have to do that when this kind of administration. I think that's just looking at the world with rose-colored glasses. They've laid out what these people are going to be doing, and I think that actually plays more to their narrative. It's a humanitarian mission. It's not a military security mission. And we have all these other agencies. I mean, Wes, just quickly, we have Peace Corps. We have USAID. Why not send them?
Yeah, that would be.
They actually signed up for this kind of stuff.
Exactly. That would be part of their mission. And I appreciate Chris's call.
You're in the military. You joined the military. Your first job is to defend and kill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate his call. I smiled as he was talking. And I thought to myself, being a Southerner, that his mama raised him right to try and see the best in people.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. But yeah, there is no way to make this look good.
Okay, folks. Coming up next, Mike Pompeo. Major move in China. Now we've seen a third term for Chairman Xi, which is historic there. They changed the rules, which is similar to what Russia did years back for Putin, so that he could continue in power, so that we could see this kind of emperor rise in China and this endless leadership. And they're trying to say, you know what, you can't compete with us because we have leadership that remains, and you have all these elections every 4 years or every 2 years, and so people can depend on us. You can't depend on the United States. I mean, those are the kind of arguments they make. We'll take your phone call. Share the broadcast. Go to ACLJ.org and support our work. We'll be right back with Mike Pompeo. All right, folks. Welcome back to Secular. We are joined by our Senior Counsel for Global Affairs, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. And I want to get right into it. A lot of news coming out of China over the weekend. Secretary Pompeo, Chairman Xi, a historic third term. They've changed the laws there, much like they did in Russia for Putin and now for Xi. What does this mean for China? This is new for them and their posture towards the rest of the world, because we hear a lot of, well, you can rely on us, like us or not, you can rely on our leadership, unlike, you know, those Americans with all their elections and their different leaders coming in and out. Rely on us. This is the only way the world works, you know, in 2022.
Well, it's pretty clear, Jordan, that the Chinese Communist Party has made a decision. They are betting it all on Xi Jinping. He, as expected, has consolidated power. The folks on the board of directors, if you will, what's called the Politburo Standing Committee, are all going to be his close colleagues who think about China the same way that he does. And the translation back here at home, what that means for us is certainly a stasis in China, that is a continued leadership in China that is trying desperately to change the way we live. And you can see it in their efforts to conduct espionage here in the United States, their influence operations there. Their statements about America being in decline to be at the core of how they think about the world is what they tell the whole world. America's in decline. We're on the rise, and putting Chinese nationalism ahead of their own economy, right? They're in a really difficult economic place, and Xi Jinping seems unconcerned about that. He is going to use every tool he has to consolidate his own power, build his own military so that they can accomplish what he says he wants to accomplish, to make China the global power in the world.
Do you think it makes him in the short term more aggressive once he, you know, takes on this new mantle? He's like an emperor instead of just a party official moved in and out. Do you think in the short term we see a more aggressive China?
I do, Jordan. I think he'll feel bullish. He'll feel empowered. He'll feel like he is not at political risk inside of his own country. And I also think he'll feel, to your point, maybe, I think he'll feel like he now needs to demonstrate that he's going to use this newly provided power to demonstrate that he is capable and a firm leader. So, yes, I think we'll see a more aggressive China, not just militarily. We'll probably see them build and build and build. But he talked about, Xi Jinping in his 2-hour speech yesterday, talked about building their technology base, their innovation base, their economy, and all of the things that make a great power truly great.
You know, I want to switch to Iran because you've got a new piece up at ACLJ.org from Secretary Pompeo. It's right on our homepage, ACLJ.org. And the title is Biden's Paltry Response to Iran Protest Empowers the Regime. Is this just a repeat? I mean, we even saw an outbreak of protest inside where we've had clients in Evin prison. I mean, this is, again, kind of next level of protest inside Iran. And yet the U.S. seems to just be ignoring it, the government.
Yeah, this looks like Obama 2.0, or worse yet, Obama 3.0, in terms of being so committed to cutting a deal that we all know would give Iran a pathway to a nuclear, but to getting this deal done, that when the Iranian people rise up, they this time are mouthing good things, but they are still intent on providing an outcome that'll give the regime, if not tens, if not hundreds, at least tens of billions of dollars to use to put down these riots. I saw that at Evin prison. there was a fire. Apparently, there were people killed. That is one of the most horrible places on earth. You talked about ACLJ clients being there. The stories that those folks must have told you are just heartbreaking. These are terrible people, a corrupt regime, and this administration ought to do everything it can to empower the freedom-loving people of Iran to throw off the yoke of the Islamic Republic.
Yeah, and then, I mean, I think it goes to, as well, we haven't had a chance to talk about this reevaluating of relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia. It feels like we're going all in with Iran. I mean, at a time when it just seems like there's so much international uncertainty. There's what's going on with Russia, Ukraine, obviously, with the Chinese that we were just talking about. And now we are upsetting a relationship with the Saudis. And I would imagine some of this must be to try and appease the Iranians.
It's really not in America's best interest. Think about this. We're trying to help Ukraine push back against Russia, but we're giving money to the regime, the Iranian regime, that is sending drones and now apparently missiles to the Russians to kill Ukrainians. it boggles the mind. And your point about what the administration has done in the Middle East more broadly, right? They've antagonized the Gulf Arab states. They've made life more difficult for Israel, our friend, our partner, our ally in the region, because they have chosen to go down this path and snuggle up to the Iranian regime. That's an enormous mistake for America. It's bad for the Gulf Arabs, and it's really bad for our friends in Israel as well.
Yeah, a final question for you today. And we just got this report out of Fox News that DHS is looking to send DOD, members of our military, to the southern border. And at first, when people say, oh, maybe that's to actually help with security at the southern border. But it's to serve illegal immigrants. It's to clean up trash, run errands. It's like this administration, they will not admit, even when they admit that they've got a problem, that there's so much to deal with. But using our military, the men and women, and putting the pressure on them to volunteer to go on this mission to the border, not to secure it, but to clean up trash and serve illegal immigrants. I would imagine there's a lot of other government agencies that could send people, and we don't have to be using our military.
Boy, I hadn't seen that reporting. I think in some ways it tells you what the Biden administration thinks of our soldiers, our warriors, our Air Force, our sailors, our Army guys, right? To say, hey, we think best use of your time is to go work on a humanitarian mission inside the United States of America. And that mission may need to be accomplished. Sign me up for taking care of people who are in a bad place. But to think the Department of Defense is the right agency to do that is ludicrous, given what we've just spoken about with Iran, China, all of the challenges we face today. Now you're going to look at the symptom, right? They view the military as another political tool of theirs. And we talk about wokeism in the military a number of times. Again, I think they misunderstand the central mission of these talented young people who are willing to risk their lives for America. I hope that report turns out to be wrong, and they're not thinking about using our military in that way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Secretary Pompeo, as always, we appreciate it. I want to encourage people to go to ACLJ.org. Check out your new piece just up today at ACLJ.org. Biden's paltry response to Iran protest empowers the regime. Read it, share it with your friends and family. As always, appreciate Secretary Pompeo joining us. You know, Darla on YouTube wrote in, thank you, ACLJ and Mike Pompeo, for reporting on these issues. We take it, folks, I mean, whether it's breaking this morning, whether it's big picture over the weekend, what's happened in China, whether it's Iran, we are bringing you experts. I mean, in the second half hour, we got Rick Rinnell joining us. We're going to get some more politics with him as well as what's going on in China. I mean, we are 3 weeks out from Election Day, and I think you just have to remind yourself all of the issues. Sometimes it can be overwhelming, and you don't want to remind yourself of how bad the economy is. And even though President Biden, we'll get to later, doesn't think so. He thinks it's great. You know, he thinks it's wonderful. And again, just not dealing with reality. So I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org as we go into our second half hour of the broadcast. Remember, if you're watching the show, you click the plus sign on Rumble. That helps share. Click thumbs up on YouTube. And, of course, you actually click share on Facebook. So we encourage you to take that action if you're someone watching, if you're listening. As always, too, we encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We've got Mike Pompeo on regularly on the broadcast as a senior counsel. We've got Rick Rinnell on. That's what you see, too, that's or hear or listen. But then there's behind-the-scenes work. We're able to go to them, rely on them for their expertise for so many of the different things we do at ACLJ. So support our work. If you can financially make that donation at aclj.org. We'll be right back on Seculum.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculum. And now your host, Jordan Seculum.
Hey, welcome back to Seculum. We are taking your calls, too, at 1-800-684-3110. Rick Rinnell is going to be joining us in the next segment of the broadcast. We'll talk about, and remember, we'll take calls with Rick. If you got calls about, and questions about politics, we're 21 days out from November 8th. A lot of people will start voting early this week. In states across the country, people will be making their decision, and if not already. And you've got races very close that will determine the outcome of who is running a lot of states, gubernatorial races, of course. Then you've got Senate races. That's, I think, where everybody's watching. You know, people kind of take for granted a lot of the House races, that the House will go Republican. And it looks like that if people show up in major turnout. We don't know exactly the margins. But some of these Senate races that weren't even on the radar a week ago are now on the radar, like Utah and Mike Lee, because you have Evan McMullen. Remember, he was a supposed former Republican, total leftist Democrat now. He's running to unseat Mike Lee in the U.S. Senate. It wasn't getting a ton of attention, and suddenly some polls came out. And then, you know, Mike Lee, a good ally of the ACLJ, a strong voice, kind of in his own way, independent, not just party line. And I think a lot of people like that. But you have to remember, it's not just the Oz's in Pennsylvania or Blake Masters or, again, what we're seeing in, you know, it's not just the Arizona, Nevada's out west, but some of these races that were not on the radar are Herschel Walker. So these were on the radar. We know that, and of course, Ron Johnson. Now you're starting to see some races. While it's favoring Republicans, you could still have some surprises. You know, it's politics. And so we're starting to see, there's a new article out today in the New York Times, of all places, actually, that did a study about how female Democrats, we've talked about a lot, how I say it very directly, the white suburban women vote. Okay, so where does that go? It can go either way. And, you know, there were a lot of people saying, and months ago, it was trending Democrat pretty strongly because of Roe versus Wade being overturned by the Dobbs decision. So in September, it was like 14 points favored the Democrats just a month and a half ago. Now, independent women back Republicans, so they don't have a party, by 18 points. So that is a giant swing if you can keep it there. If you can keep it there, you're going to start winning the Laxalt race. You're going to win the Masters race. You're going to win in Pennsylvania. But again, it's still 3 weeks. Some people will start casting their votes. I want to hear from you on that at 1-800-684-3110 as well. If you're in one of these states that has a high-profile election, if you're in Ohio, or if you're – they're all across the country, really, now. It's from the Northeast, Southeast, Midwest. There's even some interesting stuff going on in Oregon with the founder of Nike getting behind the Republican gubernatorial candidate there, saying it's been 40 years of Democrat control, enough is enough. So you're starting to see some unique moves, and he's putting his money where his mouth is. But what are you feeling on the ground? Because even some Democrat voters who are women are saying, you know what, I'm voting on the economy. The question will be, it feels that way. We're going to talk to Rick Rudell about that. I know he's traveling the country for these candidates, so we'll talk to him about that as well as some of the national security issues. We want you to join the broadcast too at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And if you're on Rumble, make sure you subscribe, because today Rumble launched their notification, so you get a push notification on your phone when we go live. So that's not over the top. But again, so if you subscribe to our Rumble page at ACLJ, and then you'll get that notification as well when we go live on Seculo. So you definitely want to do that. Again, for those of you who are on Rumble and using that platform to watch the broadcast, that just launched today from Rumble. So you will get that notification if you are a subscriber to our page and click to turn the notifications on. So that's a great way to remind you of also a great place to go to watch the broadcast. You know it will be uncensored there. We come back. Rick Rudell joins us. Political update. We'll take your calls on it too at 1-800-684-3110. Join the conversation. New analysis by economists. The Biden inflation has wiped out 2.1, think about this number, 2.1 trillion. That's about 25% off American workers, their retirement savings. Those are people who are planning to retire now, their 401ks, 25%. They are having to rethink their entire planning, again, because of decisions, self-inflicted decisions by the Biden administration. Rick Rudell is joining us now, our Senior Advisor for National Security and Foreign Policy. And Rick, I want to start with politics with you, because you're all over the country in states. You're at the rallies. You're on the ground. And we are seeing a trend. It's at the right time towards Republican candidates. But there's also some new races popping up. For instance, Utah, which is now being discussed. People weren't paying a lot of attention to Democrat Evan McMullen, who tries to claim to be a Republican. It's gone very far left in the last few years. And Mike Lee. So while we've got some races that are getting more solidly Republican, others that are popping up, it's 21 days out. People are already starting to go to the polls. What are you sensing on the ground when you're out there at the rallies, when you're with the candidates on the ground talking to voters?
Well, I've been in Nevada and Arizona the last week, and now tomorrow I go to Utah to help Mike Lee. Yep. And Thursday and Friday I'll be with Ron Johnson in Milwaukee. Look, I think that the economy is the number one issue. And, we can talk about the border and public safety, and those are important issues. But every single person right now is talking about the economy, and they know that the gas prices are the direct result of Joe Biden cutting production. People know this is a national security issue as well. It's not just an economic issue. When you cut production, American production, and we no longer are energy independent, then we have problems in the Middle East with our foreign policy, and we have problems at home at the gas pump with the price of oil.
Yeah, and so when you're in the States, I mean, we're seeing a lot out west, but you're going to be traveling more to the Midwest with Ron Johnson. These are all the races that we're talking about, and you've still got the leftists and the media trying to smear every one of these candidates in their own way, and everybody's uniquely being smeared. But that is seems to be a little bit of a sign of desperation now that people are going to be voting. And a lot of early voting starts this week. But the people on the ground, I mean, the economic issues, like you said, that's number one. We know that when that becomes number one, they trust Republican people, voters who are not necessarily aligned with the party, trust Republicans more to deal with economic issues. And I think, if they are starting to get the picture that it's not just about the House, but if you get the House and the Senate, you can put a stop to a lot of the bad policies and also force more negotiation from the Biden administration. And that's what we're really voting on in this midterm, is getting back to having a seat at the table on a lot of these issues.
It's such a great point on being able to use a little bit of the leverage by winning the House and the Senate, because not only do you stop, but you begin to have a seat at the table, as you say. And that's exactly what the country needs. They need to be able to have the people who want to have lower gas prices because they emphasize production. They need to have a seat at the table. So I think that you will see a very big change if Republicans take over the House, and an enormous change if they take over the House and the Senate. And remember one thing that will be very interesting is that if the Republicans take over the House, that means the Democratic caucus becomes smaller. A whole bunch of Democrats have lost. And I would argue that that means the moderates are going to get lost. The Democratic caucus is going to get even far more left. Their voices will be Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, and that is only going to help the march towards 2024 in the White House.
But I want to get to some foreign policy. I do think, because the economic issues are all impacted by what's going on around the world as well, and you know that from your years of experience dealing with what's going on around the world. First to China. Just your reaction to, now you've got Chairman Xi, he's got this very unique third term because they changed the laws much like they did in Russia to allow Putin to continue to serve. They've done the same thing in China. And now that he is, I think, re-emboldened, and he's kind of selling to the world, Rick, and I know you know this, but this idea, just for our listeners, that, see, you can rely, we have reliable governments, whether it's the way that they run in China or the Russians or the Iranians, and the U.S. with all your crazy elections and your every 2 years, you can't rely on those parties. That won't work in the new world. And that's his message to the world is, we are the leaders of the world. We're the new leaders of the world because our leadership is stable and you know what you're going to get with us.
That message that China always pushes, which is consistency and stability. You can go and plan your foreign policy with us for 10 to 15 years because we don't have elections, actually works with some countries because they like long-term planning and they don't like the instability. It certainly doesn't work with the people, right? The people are not getting as many freedoms. But one thing to note is that Xi has had to try to dial back some of the big plans that he's wanted to have. He's had to win this next term. It's been a difficult conversation inside the Communist Party regime. The team there was a little bit skeptical, and so he had to win people over. Now that he has won them over and he gets this next term, I think you're going to see an unleashed Xi.
When you say unleashed, were you talking military action, Taiwan, those kind of issues?
I think just a big, bold Chinese foreign policy and big, bold decisions. I'm not sure what that is actually going to mean for them, but I think that they will not be hesitant like they have been.
Yeah, I wanted to then turn to Iran because one of the places I know, as you served as DNI, but also as ambassador to Germany, and we've had clients in Evin prison, and the protests have even gotten to the point where, you know, there's fire in Evin prison. There are protesters there. Obviously, it was put down. People were killed. This is one of the worst prisons in the world. A lot of political prisoners, people who are outspoken, and that's where they get thrown into to be tortured and disappear. And you never know. For people that we've talked to have been in prison there, we've represented. They never know each day what day they could be called out and executed. And that's it's also just like a third world prison out of control, crammed with people. And so the protest breaks out. You seen any sign from this administration they're going to do anything different than what the Obama administration did during the Green Revolution?
I don't. And the one thing to note about Evin prison is that all of the political refugees, the people who have gone up against the regime, are there. So it's filled with people who are democracy seekers, people who have challenged the system. And if you have a fire there and you have a whole bunch of people killed, you're wiping out all of the activists against the regime. So this is extremely concerning. I saw that President Obama was regretting the fact that he sat on the sidelines during 2009, during the Green Revolution. That obviously is a very big deal. It was the Obama-Biden team that sat on the sidelines. I hope that means that Biden is going to do something. We see now these reports of the Iranians supplying drones to Ukraine at the same time that Joe Biden is trying to negotiate with the Iranians. It's fair to say that Biden is now on the both sides of the Ukraine war.
Yeah, but so they're using these drone strikes. What we've seen happen in Kyiv has been these Iranian, they call them kamikaze drones that go right into the buildings. And that's, the Russians are buying them from them, and then they're being used against our equipment inside Ukraine. Like you said, that is an issue that just continues to be more and more complicated. We've had the threat of the nuclear issue, but I think it all goes back to this. When you talk about all these issues, and they're real, and people are getting hurt. It has that direct impact on all of us in the pocketbook and people, and the uncertainty right now in the financial markets, in decision making. It's really difficult on people. I hope, Rick, what you're seeing is that people will vote that way. That say, you know what, this is not acceptable from my government. They need to do better, and we need to hold them more accountable. The Republicans will also have that investigative power if they get into both. Again, they'll have it if they get the House, but if you get the House and the Senate, that investigative power gets that much stronger.
Yeah, there's no question. I think people need to understand right now that the Biden administration has spent $19 billion of U.S. taxpayer money in Ukraine, while at the same time negotiating with Iran to give Iran billions of dollars while Iran is sending drones to Russia. We are on both sides of this issue. We are spending billions of dollars on both sides. It's outrageous, and we actually need to hold the Biden team to account and have some investigations of this money and a little more scrutiny about pushing diplomacy rather than just war. I think if you vote for Republicans and you get a House and the Senate, you're going to get that scrutiny. You're going to get that pushback. You're probably going to save money.
Yeah. And you know what? It's been a shift, and we've seen it. We saw kind of it went more rapid under your service when you were at the Trump administration, this shift to say, you know, let's put a halt on just rushing into conflict all the time. And yet when we get with Democrats, we feel like we're right on the edge of so many different conflicts. As always, we appreciate, Rick, your insight. And as Rick said, too, like, if you want them to be held accountable, even if you consider yourself more of an independent voter, Democrats, I don't care what they're running as. I don't care if they're Tim Ryan, Ohio. Look at their voting record. Look at their rhetoric. They're not going to hold the Biden administration's feet to the fire. If that's what you want to see these next couple of years, you got to vote for conservatives. They may not be your ideal perfect candidate, but they're human beings and they're going to be different across the country. But at least we know as a combined force, we will be able to hold the Democrats' feet to the fire. The question will be is how much? Will it just be the House, or we have the House and the Senate being able to work together? We'll be right back. Yeah, so as we all know, Joe Biden, he loves his ice cream. I mean, I like ice cream. I got nothing against that. But he gets photographed a lot of public appearances with ice cream. Pretty normal for politicians, but I feel like we see that a lot. And he made some news. One, the fact that he's out in Oregon making this news. I just mentioned that when we were talking to Rick Rinnell, that race has tightened there. And you've got the head of Nike, the founder of Nike, throwing millions of dollars in support for the Republican gubernatorial candidate there, saying it's been 40 years of Democrats' control. It's no good. The crime, the cities, places like Portland, those were great cities. And yeah, they were eccentric. But before you had these Antifa kind of activists take over parts of town, again, they were destination cities. You don't really hear about that anymore. People are moving there in droves. It's young people were moving there. It was a great city. It was kind of going through a new birth. And then you had these radical activists who are empowered by the left. So he said enough is enough. And I don't know how conservative he is when it comes to politics, but just wants a change. Say we need some kind of new leadership. We need somebody to look at this from a different way. But we had, so Joe, President Biden had to go, is out there campaigning, which is always a good sign that things are changing for Republicans in a positive way. But he had this to say while he was eating his ice cream. Take a listen.
I'm not concerned about the Trump's ally. I'm concerned about the rest of the world. Does that make sense? Yes. Our economy is turning to the internal. Inflation is worldwide. Worse off everywhere else than it is in the United States. So the problem is the lack of economic growth, sound policy in other countries, not so much ours.
Okay, so I bring in Harry Hutchinson, Director of Policy. Harry, first of all, he says the problem is not the U.S., not the leader of the free world and one of the leader financially of the world, but it's the rest of the world. Our economy is great, strong as can be, but it's the other part of the world. We have no impact on that.
Yes, I think Biden continues to demonstrate his ineptitude and the fact that he is tone deaf. He also clearly indicates that he doesn't understand the economy, and clearly he doesn't understand how disastrous his economic record is. And so this disastrous economy under Joe Biden continues to implode, I think, at a record pace. First, we should note that we entered recession territory in July, several months ago, but the hits keep coming with record inflation, exploding at electricity prices, and home asking prices are beginning to crater. Why? Because mortgage rates are approaching 7%. And they're approaching 7% because the Fed is trying to get a handle on exploding inflation. So it's also important to note that average Americans have lost approximately 25 to 30% of their retirement in 401ks under Joe Biden's watch. But now Joe Biden feels unleashed, if you will, to provide economic advice to foreign leaders. So he's criticizing the Prime Minister of Great Britain. She should do a better job. Well, why doesn't Joe Biden take his own advice?
Yeah.
And I think it's a bit idiotic for him to suggest that things are going wonderful in the United States while eating ice cream, because he reminds every American of Marie Antoinette, who said to the poor people of France hundreds of years ago, let them eat cake. Essentially, Joe Biden is saying to the American people, if you are poor, if you've got problems feeding your family, why not eat some ice cream?
Yeah.
And I just think that illustrates beyond question that he is continuing to suffer from nothing less than a brain freeze.
And there's no end in sight. So, you know, if you've dropped, as the reports are, an average of 25% off your savings under the Biden administration. But it's not like, okay, today it's stopped. Like, the most predictions are it will get worse.
Absolutely. And inflation is continuing. And that's one of the things that Joe Biden consistently denies. He's essentially saying, well, we've essentially stopped inflation in the United States. That's untrue. Gas prices are up 18%. Egg prices are up 33%. Electricity prices are up by double digits. And I believe, even though he won't admit this, that with respect to energy prices, Joe Biden absolutely loves it. Why? Because this provides a pathway, at least according to the Democrats, to a transition to green energy. Solar power, electric cars. What he doesn't seem to realize, of course, is that electric cars, they run on fossil fuel. 70% of the electricity in the United States is generated by fossil fuel. And so Joe Biden is a man who is basically paralyzed by his own contradictions and his inability to understand basic economics. He continues, the Democrats continue to pass all of these laws, including the quote-unquote Inflation Reduction Act. Well, when is inflation going to come down? Those are legitimate questions that the American people are asking.
So I kind of want to flip this way, because we've talked about usually this would be, and I think it is a great sign for Republicans, but if these election results, it looks like the House is going to go Republican, but the Senate does not. I mean, it makes me think that, again, that will embolden them to think that, you know what, yeah, we took a hit in the House, but this happens with, you know, new presidents. They come in, it's pretty common. And if we kept the Senate, even if it's by one, you know, one vote, the Democrats do, they're going to feel like, you know, what we're doing, we didn't get rejected by the American people, so they're buying into our strategy to some extent.
I think that's correct, because one of the things to keep in mind is the Democrats are gifted with arrogance and hubris. They believe in their own press releases. So I hope the American people are prepared to send the Democrats a very strong message over the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, we're in that time, folks. We are 3 weeks out. There are races that are starting to pop up. I mean, listen, we don't want to lose Mike Lee in Utah, because, see, that's why you have to be really paying close attention depending on where you live. And you might have a major race in your state where your focus is, and that's great. Keep it there. Make sure to get out to vote. Get your friends out to vote. but also remember that they're looking for anywhere possible where maybe you're not paying enough attention. As you just heard from Rick Grenell, he's not just going to be in Arizona, Nevada, and Wisconsin, where, again, those races have been in the news, it seems like, for a year and a half. He's going to be in Utah. And it's because you've got Evan McMullen there making this last-minute push, and Democrat money is trying to find any race, especially in the Senate, where they could potentially, kick out an incumbent Republican, and maybe it's not on your radar. We're going to make sure it is on your radar. All these issues are on your radar. That you're getting the facts, that you're getting the truth about where things stand politically from Election Day, because Election Day really begins now. So many people will cast their, probably half will have cast their ballots by the time we even get to Election Day. I'll be one of those people. Early voting starts where I am in a couple of days. So a lot of votes will be in. You got to make sure to get your friends and family out. Make sure to vote. Make sure to remind them of the top issues. Make sure to remind them about their 401ks. Take a look. Compare it to a couple years ago. Support the work of the ACLJ if you can at aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.